Welcome to Local Color, a talk show about community, art, culture, music, and society in Connecticut and places nearby.
I'm Jason McMullen. I'm the host of the show. With me in the studio is Ted Efremoff, who is a filmmaker, also a local, also went to UConn, I believe. Is that true, Ted?
Yes, that's correct.
And can you tell us, like, what is the movie that you have just recently made? And tell us a little bit about it.
I made a film called A Refugee's Guide to Rome, which tells the story of a guy by the name of Joseph Peters, who's a refugee from Sierra Leone and lives in Rome. And it's told in parallel with the story of Aeneas, who's in Greek mythology, he is a Trojan prince who was a refugee from the Trojan War.
Interesting. And where is the movie? Is it out now? Is it coming out soon? Or what's the status of that?
The film is coming out on TVOD platforms such as Amazon or Hoopla, which is a library app. It's coming out on June 5th. And then later this summer, it's coming out on AVOD platforms such as Documentary Plus and Tubi and things of that nature.
Okay, cool. So there will be a lot of places to find it, and it's launching sort of at different times, but this summer. It's all happening this summer, basically.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, very cool. So what's your background as it relates to filmmaking, storytelling, art, however you want to take the question, basically, and how did it lead you to make this film?
Perfect segue for me. So I grew up in the Soviet Union, and interestingly, my grandmother was an American teacher who was teaching English in Pennsylvania. She went to University of Pennsylvania. And she got interested in the Soviet Union in the late 20s and went there for a visit in the 30s. Wound up working for Ford factories and then became a translator. Stayed in Russia for almost 50 years. She wrote a book called 50 Russian Winters. In the 30s, due to a decree by Stalin, she gave up her American citizenship because she wasn't going to be allowed to stay in the country, and she already had a family at that point. They weren't going to be allowed to leave if she decided to leave. So she stayed. She was a refugee, internally displaced person, I should say, during World War II, along with my mother and my uncle and my grandfather. And then in 1980, I was 16 years old. I was kind of a hooligan. I was in trouble a little bit. Didn't go much to school. But at that point, my grandmother had an opportunity to come back to the United States. She was able to prove that she gave up her American citizenship under duress. And her, myself, and my mom, we moved to the U.S. But first, we stayed in Rome for about a month. And as a 16-year-old kid who was an artist, I was just flabbergasted by the city. I would walk out of my pensione and just find amazing sights all around, walking around fountains, sculpture, buildings from the Roman Empire. So that really attracted me to the city. And this film has been kind of in the making for 35, 40 years.
Interesting. So it really is a personal story, in addition to being a story of Joseph Peters. Was that the name of the person?
Yes.
Yeah. So tell me about Joseph. How did you find Joseph, and how did you decide to try to make a movie about this?
So I'm really an artist. I went to grad school here. I got my MFA from UConn, and I made films and videos as part of my art practice, but I really wanted to tell this story. This name, A Refugee's Guide to Rome, popped into my head. I started looking for organizations that helped refugees in Rome, and I found a place called Joel Nafuma Refugee Center. So I wrote a grant from my current position. I'm a professor at Central in the arts department. And so I wrote a grant. I went to Rome on a whim for 6 weeks. I sent a few emails out to these refugee organizations, and a reply came back right away. I said I was looking for an interesting character that spoke English and had an interesting story. And the woman who ran the Joel Nafuma Refugee Center right away said, "Oh, I have somebody for you. He's a journalist from Sierra Leone. He had to escape Sierra Leone because he was a LGBT supporter. And I met Joseph right away after that.
Interesting. And that was that first trip to Rome. Is that the only time you filmed in Rome, or did you end up going back?
I went back the following year. And then I had a filmmaker friend of mine, Emilio Suraci, film during the pandemic. I'm really probably the worst in terms of film organization. Film is quite an extensive undertaking. So I kind of went at it more as an artist, and I probably made a lot of wrong turns. But I just kind of followed my bliss and made the film over the course of 5 years.
Interesting. So can you tell us a little bit more? I mean, obviously, you don't want to spoil the story, but is it fictional? Is it nonfiction? Is it sort of a blend of the two? And what kind of a story is it?
So I would say that it's really an epic. On one hand, it's a documentary.
Mm-hmm.
So it documents the life and the migration journey of Joseph from Sierra Leone through Mali, Burkina Faso, Libya, across the Mediterranean into Rome. And then it's told in parallel with the story of Aeneas, who's the mythological founder of Rome in Virgil's Aeneid, which is an epic poem.
Interesting. And why did you want to connect those two stories?
You know, I really didn't know whether they were actually going to connect, and I wasn't very aware of the Aeneid. I was very aware of the Iliad and the Odyssey because I read those Homeric poems when I was a kid. So I met Joseph, I started to learn more about him, and then simultaneously I was doing research on refugees in Rome. And then I found out that the Rome's foundation myth, which is actually a propaganda story that Augustus asked Virgil to write, is that of Romans being descendants of the Trojans.
Interesting. Which was more about creating the history that they wanted to have than it was attempting to repeat some true history.
Yes, Augustus wanted this story out because his family were supposedly descendants of Venus, and Aeneas was the son of Venus.
Okay.
So if you have heard about Julius Caesar, he was a guy who was, you know, very popular warrior, conquered a lot of territory. And then he got killed by basically his compatriots because he wanted to be emperor. Mm-hmm. He no longer wanted to have a republic. He wanted to run the show. So he adopted his great nephew, who is Augustus, and called him his son to pass on his bloodline. And Augustus needed a great story, a great myth to tell the Roman people. Augustus became the first Roman emperor that, listen to me, follow me, I will be your leader. We don't need to follow all these senators, and this republic thing is no longer cool. You should all listen to me. So he had Virgil write this story. It took 10 years for Virgil to write it. Virgil decided that he didn't like the story after 10 years of writing, and Virgil was on his deathbed. But when Augustus read the story, he said, this is perfect. I'm a descendant of Venus. Everybody should follow me. And he actually published it so all of Romans that could read would be able to read this story.
Interesting. And that connected with that creation myth of Aeneas and the founding of Rome, connected to this modern story of people who have had to leave their home for one reason or another. Can you tell us a little bit more about what did you capture in Rome? Like, what kinds of things were you filming? What kind of conversations or moments did you encounter while you were out there filming, or while your colleague was out there filming?
So when I first went to Rome in 2018, I met Joseph. I wanted to So as a kid, I loved skipping school and just traveling. I would take trains, buses, whatever I could. And I still love to do that. So I love going to new places. I travel quite extensively. And I love just walking the streets and, you know, seeing the sights, smelling the smells, and kind of getting to know the place. So I wanted Joseph to walk around the city. And I filmed him walking around the city. And the other part of that thought process was, you know, when we walk in any city, we see a human being walking down the street. We really have no idea what their backstory is. So it was kind of like this personalizing a person who we don't really know anything about.
Interesting. Yeah. So you made the film. Who did the edit? Were you the editor? Was someone else an editor?
Yeah, I'm the editor. Yeah.
Okay. And how did the editing process go? Did you find anything in the footage that you didn't know was going to be there?
Oh, it was because I've been filming for basically 4 years. Once I started editing, at first I had all these other people in the film, all these other refugees. Joseph works extensively with refugees. He's a activist for refugee rights. He's given speeches at the UN in favor of the refugees. So I kind of wanted him speaking to other refugees, asking them questions, working with them basically the way he would normally do. But so I filmed a lot of other extraneous situations, which later I basically cut. I really wanted it to be this singular story of Joseph and him also telling the story of Aeneas.
Interesting. So just for everybody listening, the name of the film is A Refugee's Guide to Rome, and it is coming out on streaming and on demand starting on June 6th. June 5th. I'm not going to remember all the rest of that, but can you refresh us on the other dates when it's coming out?
Yeah, so it's coming out on Amazon and Hoopla, which is a library app, on June 5th. And then throughout the summer, probably starting in July, it's going to be coming out on Tubi, Documentary Plus, and a bunch of other platforms.
Okay, cool. So if you remember that name, A Refugee's Guide to Rome, you will be able to find it in a bunch of places over the course of the summer. So this is maybe a loaded question, but I feel like it's a fair one to ask people. When you make a piece of art like this, it's not just for you. Obviously, you put so much time and effort into it. You want to connect with an audience, maybe share it with some people. So in a world of endless entertainment and information, why should people see this movie?
I think people should see this film because, on one hand, it's the personal experience of real hardship and sort of epic movement throughout Africa. And on the other, from the personal, we go to the epic, to the mythology, to like all these films like Troy and 300 and Odysseus is coming out this summer, I believe. They are the world's stories that have been told for millennia, you know. So, but how do we connect our own personal experience to that mythology? So this film attempts to do that.
Interesting. And maybe provides a slightly different perspective than some of those other names or titles that you just named.
Yes, absolutely. It's not, although there is footage of people, you know, drowning in the Mediterranean and experiencing real hardships in the Sahara during the refugee journey. It's not what is the term when you have sandals and you have swords? It's like swords and sandal epics where there's giant battles happening.
Sure.
This is not one of those films. This is kind of a personal story.
Understood. And I think we can all appreciate the difference between a story like the one you're describing and, I don't know, the movie Gladiator or something like that.
Exactly.
And it sounds very interesting. Is there anything else you want to say about the film or about the people that helped you on it? Like, who else contributed to the film in a major way? Obviously, Joseph played a key role. You said there was a camera operator who also provided a lot of help. Is there anyone else in the film?
Yeah, there is a gentleman by the name of Emilio Suracci, who really is an excellent filmmaker, who helped me to I give him credit as a DP, along with myself on the film, who really helped me to get the visuals of the story. Certainly would like to thank Joel Nafuma Refugee House and IRIS, which is a refugee organization here in New Haven that came to the premiere of the original film, and 5 Points Center for the Arts, UConn, CCSU Art and Design Department. So there are many players. A lot of students were involved in actually giving me notes on the film, a lot of faculty. So this is really a group project, even though I get a lot of credit for it.
Of course, of course. And I have a question. I'm trying to think of the best way to phrase it. But I was wondering, like, in modern Rome, obviously you went back multiple times and you were very focused on the refugee experience. What is the situation for refugees in Rome right now? Is there a significant refugee population? How are they being treated by the locals? How are they being treated by the authorities?
So currently in Rome, and because this story started evolving in 2018 for me, so I would say that the majority of refugees from Africa were coming into Italy. So some of you might know the word Lampedusa. It's an island to which these refugees flock. At one point, there was an agreement with other European nations called the Dublin Convention, which meant that whichever country a refugee landed in, that's where they had to stay. So most the refugees that come into Italy, even if they have family in Sweden or Ireland, if they go to those countries, they're being sent back to Italy. Italy, to this day, has not had a lot of services for refugees. So when they arrive, if you see the film, you'll understand more. They're basically sleeping outside of train stations or in tents. They're camping, they're sleeping in parks, so they really don't have a lot of support. But there are organizations like some Catholic organizations and some other individual organizations that support them. And Joel Nafuma Refugee Center is one of those centers that supports the refugees. Joseph has himself become a supporter and lobbies for refugee rights in Italy.
Cool. Interesting. So see the film to see more, basically. But I really appreciate that information. And I know we're in the middle of a little bit of a modern, I think, refugee crisis, because there's been so much unrest in so many different parts of the world over the last 10 years. And so many people in really desperate situations trying to figure out how to survive. And, they're before the grace of God go all of us, right? It could happen to any of us any day. We really don't know what the future holds.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the biggest points of the film. At one point in the film, Joseph says, don't look at the outside of an individual. Today they might be tattered, they might be dehydrated, they might be, they might even, he mentions himself that he didn't smell very well when he got off the boat. But don't look at the outside, look at the inside. And every one of us have our own personal experience, and every one of our families has an experience of migration at some point due to some kind of duress, like war, famine, and all of those types of things that make us move. So I made this film so people can identify with that and people can support people that are going through these difficulties.
Absolutely. And you're right. The family history thing is real. One of my grandfathers was born in Belfast, suffered from pretty serious economic trouble because that was very widespread in Europe at the time. Also got involved in the nationalist struggle, which contributed to his move to the U.S. to try and avoid prison or death or whatever might be coming as a result of that. And he arrived just in time for the American Great Depression. So it's a long and tough journey, and that could happen to any of us, I guess, is one of the messages here, or things something that people should think about. I really want to thank you for coming in. Thank you for sharing the story. The name of the film is A Refugee's Guide to Rome, and it's going to show up starting in June, but really throughout the summer. We're speaking here in the summer of 2026, and it's going to be showing up on more platforms throughout the summer. Is there anything else you want to share with people? And I really do want to say again, thank you so much for coming in today and talking with us.
Oh, hey, my pleasure. I really enjoyed the conversation. The only thing I would say is don't look at the outside, look at the inside. Think about your own personal experience and your personal experience of hardship, and then look at other people with empathy that that can evoke.
That was Ted Efremoff talking about his film, A Refugee's Guide to Rome. This is WHUS Stores.